Okay, as I said last week, we're taking 4 weeks to look at spiritual gifts, and I've titled this Gifted for Growth, because the Lord has given His church spiritual gifts in order to grow, both in maturity, to be more like Christ, but also to use our gifts to grow, to make disciples. So it's important for us as Cornerstone to really consider spiritual gifts and how they function in our church and how we should use them and things like that. So this last week we kind of talked about what spiritual gifts are and looked at a few different passages, different lists of spiritual gifts. And this week we're going to look at spiritual gifts and how they relate to the body of Christ. So I want to start out. Kids, are you ready? Aria, can you tell me who this is? Do you know who that is? You don't know who that is? Okay. Oh. Josiah, do you know? Wow, these young kids. All right, Rowan. Mr. Potato Head. Yes, this is Mr. Potato Head. Now, I like to do a little research for my sermon. So I had this thought this week of Mr. Potato Head and using this as an illustration. But I did the research. Did you know Mr. Potato Head actually came out in 1952?
Yes.
And here, check this out. I found a picture. This is a picture of the original Mr. Potato Head. Now, what you would do, I know it looks different, right? But this box was full of all these different pieces, and what you would actually do is take a real potato.
Yes, that's
right. Or some other type of vegetable and stick it on the vegetable or the potato. So this is what the original was. The plastic potato body came in 1964 after parents complained about rotting vegetables. Okay? And this was the first toy ever advertised on television. So little history lesson for you. Now, when I was a kid, this is what me and my sister had. We had the bucket, the red bucket with a lot of different pieces in it. Mr. Potato Head, 1987 version, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. So it started out just Mr. In 87, we got Mrs. It also came with the bendable arms and something called the tater tush. It's the back part, you know, that you store the pieces inside. And they also discontinued the pipe in 1987.
I have something to add.
Yes.
If you would like to buy a Mr. Potato Head
for the shoebox, there we go.
If you could find it, that would be great.
Little plug. And then the history of Mr. Potato Head in 1995, he became a movie star because he starred in Toy Story, and it kind of brought the Mr. Potato Head back into, you know, popular culture once again. So there you go. I'm going to kind of fit Mr. Potato Head in our sermon a little bit throughout the day. So make sure you pay attention. I've never done Mr. Potato Head in a sermon before. Okay? So here we are. All right. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read verses 12 through 27. So you can turn there. And if you are ready, would you stand with me out of respect for God's word, and we'll read it together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 12, this is what Paul writes to the church. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You may be seated. All right, for my note takers or people that want to know where I'm at in my sermon, okay, I have three main points here. The first one is that no one has all the gifts. So we talked last week about different spiritual gifts and the list that Paul wrote in different sections of Scripture, but no one has all the gifts. This is about function, okay? So going back to our illustration, if the only accessories we had for Mr. Potato Head were eyes, it wouldn't make a very good Mr. Potato Head, would it? I mean, we might laugh at it being kind of silly at first, but we would say it's not as silly as it should be. Because what makes it silly is that it looks like a little person made out of a potato. It's not just meant to be a plastic potato with a bunch of plastic eyes on it. That's kind of dumb. Okay? So what we're saying is it can't just all be eyes. That wouldn't make a good Mr. Potato Head. But now if we had no eyes, that wouldn't be good either, right? We would say we need that part. Because we need all the different parts to function like it's designed. It's designed to be a goofy little toy that looks like a person made out of a potato. And if we're missing parts, it's incomplete. If I tried to sell a vintage Mr. Potato Head on eBay and I had to admit that it's missing parts, it's not going to go for a very good price, correct? We need all the parts in order for it to be complete based on its design. So look back at verses 12 and 13. Paul says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So just like a real body, a physical body, that's the illustration Paul's using, he's saying the church is one body in Christ. Think of it like a body. It's functioning with different parts. And the diversity is the intended design. God chose a bunch of different people and a bunch of different gifts to be one body and function under his intended design. And what brings unity to the body is what? It's the Holy Spirit. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. When someone comes to faith in Christ, they obey his command and they are baptized. They're recognizing themselves as part of the body of Christ. The next person that does it might be totally different. And Paul lists here, Jews or Greeks, totally different people groups, right? And he's saying they can be part of one body in Christ together because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can bring them together in faith in Christ to be one body. We talked about this during our testimony time, right? Regina shared, this is my family. Well, we look around, there's not too many black people here. And yet she sees us as family. Why? Because the Spirit brought us together. We have something deeply in common with her, not because of blood, DNA, but because of the Spirit. And sometimes our family here can feel a lot closer to us than our actual blood family, right? Amen. Because the Holy Spirit brings us together as one body. Amen. Okay, our differences in our personalities and our gifts should not divide us. We're meant to be different, but yet together as one body. That's the glorious thing. I look around, you know, outside of Christ, a lot of us might not be friends because we don't have a lot in common outside of that, but yet we have this bond with Christ that's so much closer than just our hobbies or our interests. Okay? Bye. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Again, no single part can do everything. Just like in your own body, you know, if your nose is stuffed up, your ear's not going to breathe for you. Right? We all have different body parts doing different things for our one body. Each has a function that only it can perform. It's the same within the church. We each have been given spiritual gifts to use to help the whole body. And I'm not meant to do the same gift that God has blessed Yvonne with, or Abby with, or Dan with. We are all given unique gifts to use for the whole body. In verse 18, he says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Verse 18 highlights God's design. Gifting is unique and intentional. So when we're thinking about our spiritual gifts and be like, wow, I wish I could do this, rest in the fact that God chose you to have that gift and to use that gift for the body. And we shouldn't look at one another wishing we had each other's gift. Oh, I wish I was more like that. No, God gifted you with something precious and special and unique to use for the whole body. And I just wanted to make note, I think it's important that we see this as a body, because it's important for these parts to be attached to the body, right? If my arm is not attached to my body, it's not going to do much, is it? It needs to be attached to the body in order to function the way it's designed. Same thing with the church. And this is where I stress church membership. You have to be part of a body. You have to be active in the body and using your gifts. You have to know and be known in order to function healthy. Okay? So the people that say, oh, I'm good with God, I don't want to do the church thing, I would say that's not very healthy. You're not going to survive very long, because you have to be a part of the body to function the way that God designed you to function. Okay? Point number two. No one is unnecessary. Some of this is kind of overlapping. I think this is talking about value. So we talked about function. Now we're talking about value. Every person in the church has been given gifts that are necessary for the body. I wanted to share with you, we're going to leave the Mr. Potato Head illustration just for a second and get a little bit more serious. Okay? Now, this, I know I've talked about this a little bit before, but as you guys know, 2 years ago, I had some major knee surgery. Remember I preached in a wheelchair for a while?
Yeah.
Yes, I remember. But what happened was the meniscus, everyone should have one. Some older people, some people that are injured, maybe not as much. But a meniscus is this piece here in the knee. This is your kneecap, so you're looking straight on here. And the meniscus is this cartilage tissue, and I looked this up too. It's 3 to 5 millimeters thick, okay? Not that thick, really, when you think about it. But what it does is it's used as shock absorption, stability and it lubricates the joint. It's a small yet very important part in your knee. And I found out that over time, my meniscus wore down. Now this, I could not find my own x-rays, but I found one online that looked very similar to what mine did. You can see on this side, there's not any meniscus there, and it's bone on bone. And that's what was happening to my knee. And I can tell you that it was very painful. When I walked, it was like, it did not feel good. It was also messing with my alignment. So I was walking funny, and my whole body was aching because I was not aligned properly, okay? All because I didn't have a meniscus on one side of my knee, this tiny little part. It's so small, but yet so important, so that my whole body functions properly. And I did not want to freak you out and show you the aftermath of my surgery. Big screws in there and stuff like that. But I needed to get realigned in order for my body to be functioning properly, okay? Look back at verse 21. Paul says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require." Okay, what's he talking about? He's saying that even the strong parts in our body need the weaker ones. So just with that example of a knee, the large bones and large muscles in our legs will suffer if that one little tiny hidden part is suffering. Okay? Without the meniscus, what seems small or weak is actually essential for the health of the leg. Body parts that are covered. Paul's talking about this. We work hard to protect and cover certain parts of our body, right? Those are our most honored parts, in a sense, because we protect and cover them. That's what Paul's saying, though. Even though you don't see all the parts, every part is essential and every part needs to be honored. We take care of our body, so it is within the church. It might seem like your gift isn't that important. It might not be standing up here. I mean, we had a couple people come up and share and say, "I'm nervous standing up here." Maybe it's because you don't have the gift of public speaking or preaching the word or things like that. You feel that, right? And I might be very uncomfortable doing the gifts that God gave you because that's not my gifting. But every part needs to be honored and celebrated and used. Look back at the second half there of verse 24. It says, "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." God's design often exalts the weak to show his power at work. We see this all throughout scripture, right? God chooses these weak, weird people to show off his power. And God does that within the church too. He chooses what seems to be weak in the world to show off his power. And verse 26, read that again. "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." I think this is emphasizing this mutuality and care within the body of Christ. It's the same with our actual physical body. The body's going to suffer if one part is suffering. And if everything's functioning good, we feel good. Our prayer time, our sharing time is a great example of how we come together as Cornerstone Church and suffer together and rejoice together. Amen. We have times of, "Hey, I need prayer. Come around me and pray for me." We have times like this morning where we're sharing testimony of God's goodness and how he's using us, and we rejoice together and we clap. It's a great example within every service that we have on Sunday that we are rejoicing and or suffering together. So, Cornerstone, your gift matters to this church. God gave you that unique gift for a reason. Your faithfulness in using that gift matters to Cornerstone Church. If you have gifts and you are not using them, you should, because they're meant to be used. We talked about that last week. And lastly, you are necessary for the health of the whole body. We are a body. Last point. Christ unites and directs his body. So we're going to look at a couple different passages here before we finish the 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 1, 22 to 23, Paul says, "And he put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So Christ, if we are like his body, Christ is the head. And a body can't function without the head, right? This isn't Sleepy Hollow. Okay. We need the head in order for the body to function. And Paul's saying Jesus is the head. Jesus is what's in charge. He's been given all dominion and authority over all things, including his church, which is his body. It's the fullness of him. Colossians 1:18. "And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." Jesus is the one that comes first. He was the first to die, to pay for our sins, and he was the first to be resurrected in new life and given authority over all things. And anyone who puts their faith in him then likewise dies to themselves, is raised to new life in him, and is also joining Jesus in having authority over this earth like God designed. In Christ, we have authority. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. All life comes from Jesus. Jesus is supreme in all things, creation, resurrection, and the church. And therefore, the gifts of grace, the spiritual gifts, are given to display Jesus' glory and power and design. Does that make sense? Jesus is the head. So 1 Corinthians 12, 27, let's finish this passage that we read this morning. Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." So we are the body of Christ together, and yet we are unique as members of that body, having unique roles and functions. And I got to thinking about it this week, going back to Mr. Potato Head illustration, okay? And I love this. Mr. Potato Head, is this his head or his body? It's also his head, is it not? And I just love this because it clicked for me. I'm like, man, this is a great illustration because the head and the body become one. Yeah. And it's the same thing when we put our faith in Christ. We are joining him as members of his body, and he's the head, but we are one together with Christ. And I love this because they can't be separated. Jesus and his church join together as one. He is the head. He unifies, he directs, and he gives purpose, and the church is connected to him. And we're connected with one another through him. So all the different parts, you know, think about the different parts that are coming off of him. Those are the spiritual gifts. We're like coming out of being one with Christ and one with one another. And we're using those things for a specific purpose, to give him glory. Spiritual gifts don't exist for our own personal glory. They serve Jesus' body through his leadership. 1 Corinthians 6:17, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." Again, this is an invitation. This is a reminder. If you have not put your faith in Christ, I encourage you to do that. When we recognize Jesus as Lord and say, "Yes, I want to be one with you," we will be joined with him through his Holy Spirit. We are forgiven of our sins. We are gifted with eternal life, but we are also gifted with his presence and his peace now, to live life abundantly here, to join him on his mission to make his name known in all the earth, to make disciples, to bring God's worship here on earth. We get all of this when we join him in faith through his Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you guys, think hard about that. If you've never done that, give your life to the Lord. If you have and you're struggling, give your life to the Lord. If you have and things seem to be going good and you're walking well with the Lord, continue to think about that and praise God. Amen. That he's with you and he's keeping you in faith. It's all about Jesus. And we need to surrender to him, and we need to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving me spiritual gifts that I can use as part of your body to bring you glory and to function to make your name known. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've given your body to help keep me in the faith. Left to myself, I would wander off. And yet I have a group of family members here, my body, that helps me walk with the Lord. Because you're using your gifts to encourage me to help keep me walking in holiness and vice versa. Does that make sense? We are part of the body of Christ. You have joined him, and we belong with one another. Last verse, Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. This is what we're doing. Like, we are the body, we are also growing into becoming more like Jesus. And we use our spiritual gifts to do that. So I want to encourage you guys this week. Last week, I encouraged you to pray, what are my spiritual gifts, Lord, and how can I use them to help grow Cornerstone Church? This week, I don't have a specific prayer, but I want you to think hard about what it means to be joined with Christ and using your body or your gifts for his body. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. We are going to take communion together.